Happy New Year. It's the first Sunday in 2021, and probably glad to see the back of 2020 in some ways. For Sunday's preaching online, we're going back to the series in 1 John that we didn't complete earlier in the year, last year. So we're picking up 1 John in chapter 3, verses 11 to 24 today. And the main point of this passage is pretty straightforward. Christians are people who love one another. So, people of St. Alfred's and St. Luke's, you're to love one another. Here's what it says right at the start of the passage in verse 11. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. So there's the key point for today. Now, what does John mean by this? Does he mean that we're supposed to do a lot of hugging and kissing at church? Well, no, he doesn't mean that exactly, so be good to pay attention to what he does say and learn about what loving one another looks like. Now, this passage is in two sections, verses 11 to 18 and verses 19 to 24. Some people think the second section, verses 19 to 24, is like a digression, and it's talking about prayer, not so much talking about loving one another. But I'm persuaded by local Melbourne scholar Colin Cruz, who says the second section is actually linked to the first, and we'll get to that in due course. So let's look at the first section, verses 11 to 18, which I've entitled Love One Another Sacrificially and Practically. So as I said, verse 11 gives us the keynote, the main heading. We are to love one another. And John then gives us two illustrations of what this looks like, one negative and one positive. Negatively, he says, in a nutshell, don't be like Cain. Remember, Cain was the son of Adam and Eve, and he killed his brother Abel. And we're told by John that Cain's heart belonged to the evil one, and he was gripped by jealousy and hate. For John, Cain is a symbol of hatred. Cain symbolizes a horrible world, a world of jealousy, of rage, of anger, of bitterness. It's a dog-eat-dog world, a really harsh and brutal world, a world where people hurt one another and even kill one another. That's what Cain represents for John. Now, in the Christian community, not many of us will be murderers. But at times, some of us hurt one another with our words or our actions. And we speak ill of one another. And when we do this, we are acting like Cain. And John says, we're not to be like that. Don't be like Cain. Instead, and this is the positive illustration, John says, be like Christ. Look at verse 16 with me. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So don't be like Cain, but be like Christ, who is our model of love. And it's a sacrificial love. This sort of love wants to do something good for the other person, thinks of the other person's best interests. And as Christ laid down his life for us, John says we're to lay down our lives for one another. There are echoes here of Christ's teaching in John 15, where he says this, "My command is this, you love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Now, this call to lay down our lives for one another might seem a little bit over the top. It might be the sort of thing that maybe a missionary in a dangerous country might have to do when they're really under pressure. But what does it mean for us when we're living in suburban Melbourne? Do we actually have to put our lives at risk for our fellow believers who come to church with us? Well, listen to how John applies this this lofty teaching about laying down our lives, how he applies this in a very, very practical way. Look at verse 17 with me. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So do you see what John's doing? He's saying, do love one another, lay down your lives for one another. But the way to do that is to be generous to one another, to support one another, to be kind to one another, particularly when people are in need. It's like being good Samaritans towards one another and giving a helping hand. Now, in the end, John says that our love for one another is sacrificial and practical. It's motivated by our gratitude for what Christ has done for us on the cross, and it's shown by our very practical kindness and generosity. And that's exactly what the early church did when they shared their possessions with one another. You can read about that at the end of Acts 2 and Acts 4. And it's also what the Gentile churches did for the Jerusalem church, the Jewish church, when they raised money and they sent that to Jerusalem to support their Christian brothers and sisters in need. So imagine if someone at church says to you that they need some help. You know, they need maybe some financial help, or they need to borrow a car, or they need space in a garage, they need some babysitting to help with kids, or they need a lift to get to a medical appointment. What do you do in that situation? Well, John says you try and help. You try and help in whatever way you can. And I know people at church do that most of the time. But John now raises an interesting issue here, and I think this is the connection with the second section in today's passage. When we're called on to help one another, it affects our heart. It affects our inner being. Because sometimes when we hear that someone's in need, part of us might want to help, but then we have this little battle inside us where we give ourselves messages like, oh, I don't have time to do that. Oh, I've got such a lot on this week. Oh, no, that sounds a bit too complicated, too demanding, so I better not get involved in that. And so our heart, our inner being, raises these objections. And those objections then fight with our better self that wants to help. And we have this inner struggle. And what John is saying here is that we need to persuade our hearts. We've got to tell our hearts that we're going to be generous. So let's just have a look at the next section, verses 19 to 24, which I've called Persuade Your Hearts to Practice Love. Now, verse 19 that starts this section is not so clearly translated in the NIV, because in the NIV it says we are to set our hearts at rest in God's presence. But literally, what it says there is that we are to persuade our hearts. Now, what do we need to persuade our hearts of? Well, as I was just saying, we need to persuade our hearts to help. The persuasion is necessary whenever, quote, our hearts condemn us. That is, I think, that when our heart is telling us not to help, our inner being is saying, no, no, no. John is describing this inner struggle that we go through sometimes. Do I help? Don't I help? And when my inner self, my heart, is saying, no, don't help, we need to persuade our hearts, in fact, to help, to be generous. Now, God knows what we're like. As John says, God knows everything in verse 20. So we can't hide this from God. We're just humans after all. But I think what John is saying here is that when we're in God's presence, he uses that language, when we're in God's presence and we sort of pull ourselves away from our sort of fleshly, selfish desires, and we remind ourselves of who God is, we remember how generous and kind God has been to us. And then that helps us persuade our hearts to be kind and generous towards our brothers and sisters. Verses 21 and 22 then talk about what it's like when you win this inner battle. When you win that battle and you persuade your heart to be generous, then your heart no longer condemns you. You have confidence in your relationship with God, and your prayers are answered. I think it's interesting to note that there is a connection between loving one another in these practical ways and having our prayers answered. I think what happens here, I think the spiritual principle at work here is that when God sees us being generous, you know, he knows our heart, we can't hide that. When he sees what our heart is like and he sees us acting generously and kindly towards one another, he is pleased to answer our prayers, pleased to bless us. But I think when we're tight-fisted, when we're mean, when we're selfish, that's like a spiritual blockage so that God cannot bless us. Now, I think St. Alfred's and St. Luke's are generous churches. We're full of generous people. And I think when you look back on the past histories of both churches in different ways, that God has really blessed that sort of generosity and kindness. John then rounds everything off in verse 23 by bringing us back to the main point. He says this, and it couldn't be clearer. And this is God's command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded. The last verse in this chapter, verse 24, is about the Spirit, and I think that's a transition into chapter 5, so I'm going to leave that to next week. So let me conclude. It's the beginning of a new year, and we all know that last year was very difficult. And I just wonder if, as we begin this new year, it would be good to just take a little bit of time to check, through COVID, did you become a little me-focused, a little self-focused, a little self-centered perhaps? Is it now time to just open up the windows a bit and look out beyond yourself? You know, we're allowed outdoors now. We're allowed to engage with people a bit more. Is it time to just see, is there some way you can be helpful to another brother or sister? Is there some way that you can show kindness and show practical love? And the ways you can do that are many and various. But John says it has to be practical. Can't just be good intentions. Can't just be talk. See how you can use your money, your time, your stuff, your home to be helpful, to be kind to those in the Christian world who are in need. And when our hearts, so John says in the end, we should love one another practically and sacrificially. And when our hearts try to tell us otherwise, we have to persuade our hearts that our God is a kind God and he delights to bless us and answer our prayers when we show love in the model of Christ who died for us because he loved us so much. So God bless you this year as we begin 2021. May we love and care for one another through this year. Amen.